Welcome to the Tom Nicola Podcast, the audio version of my online articles, where I cover topics on nutrition, fitness, supplementation, personal growth, and more, all in the tenacious pursuit of optimal health. If you like what you hear, be sure to check out my ebooks and training programs. Just go to tomnicola.com. To keep the conversation going from this article, guys, head over to the Vigor Facebook group, and ladies, head over to the Vigoress Facebook group. Now, on to today's article.
Six fatitudes you need to fix if you want to get fit. A fatitude is a belief or attitude that keeps you fat and unhealthy. I know, you thought it was all about nutrition and exercise. It still is, but you won't do what you know you should do on a diet and exercise program with a fatitude that's getting in the way. All the knowledge available about nutrition and exercise is useless when it's in the mind of someone with limiting beliefs and attitudes. The following are six of the most common fatitudes steering people into the ditch on the path from fat to fit. Fatitude number one, nobody supports me. What does it even mean when someone says, nobody supports me? Your health is your responsibility. Everyone has their own individual responsibilities and priorities, especially when it comes to something as personal as health and fitness. It isn't fair to them that you'd make them responsible for you. If you believe your current state of fitness is the fault or responsibility of others, you're playing the victim. You'll never thrive in your fitness, career, relationships, or anything else playing the victim. Those who succeed with their health and fitness don't wait for someone else to haul them out of bed, cook their meals, give them their supplements, schedule their doctor appointments, drive them to the gym, or make sure they go to sleep on time. If you have people in your life who cheer you on and check in on you, awesome. Be grateful. But never depend on them to do what you need to do. They could be gone tomorrow, but that shouldn't affect your ability to care for yourself. Once you take 100% responsibility for your health and fitness, you take action. You do whatever it takes to improve your health all by yourself. What if you have someone who doubts your ability to do what you need to do? What if you have a family member or friend who rolls their eyes at your new attempt to get fit? A victim makes someone else's disapproval become an excuse to give up. Someone who takes responsibility uses that disapproval as motivation to make it happen. You might even have a loving spouse who's recently rolled their eyes at what you're doing. Maybe, just maybe, it's because they've heard this from you before. How many times have you started over on a diet? How many times have you joined a gym? Sometimes it isn't the other person doesn't want you to succeed. It's just that they've had their hopes up for you so many times before that they don't want to get their hopes up again. You need to show them that you'll follow through this time. Rather than seeing their supposed lack of support as a slight against you, look at it as a challenge to prove them wrong. Don't put the burden of your responsibilities on the shoulders of someone else. Take ownership for your health and fitness. Number two, it's too hard. Resistance is the force you feel pushing back when you attempt something important. In the gym, resistance is visible. You measure it in pounds or kilograms. It's an objective measure of the force pressing against you. Week after week, you overcome greater resistance, which improves your strength and stamina. In life, resistance is subjective. Your perception determines the force of the resistance. Resistance shows itself when the desires and expectations of your boss, spouse, kids, customers, or even the server at a restaurant conflict with yours. Your alarm rings an hour earlier so you can get to the gym, and the warmth of your bed and your tired head remind you that it's more comfortable to sleep in for 60 more minutes. Your boss schedules a meeting over lunch and brings sandwiches in, tempting you to eat those instead of the healthier meal you brought with you. Your spouse wants to order pizza for dinner instead of eating something better. Then, frustration fills your mind and complaints enter your conversations. You tell yourself and others how hard it is to wake up early to train, to say no to donuts or drinking alcohol, or to get to sleep early enough to get your 7+ hours. You magnify the force of that resistance. Your perception of the resistance is what gives you power over it, or what gives it power over you. The more committed you are, the more resistance you'll face and the harder it feels. At times, you might feel like the world is conspiring against you and your weight loss plans. Don't be fooled. Remember that everyone else in the world, including those close to you, have their own desires, goals, and ambitions. Most of the time, what they need or want to do won't line up with what you need to do. This quote from Stephen Pressfield sums this up well. The more important a call to action is to your soul's evolution, the more resistance we feel about answering it. But to yield to resistance deforms our spirit. It stunts us and makes us less than we are and we're born to be. Stephen Pressfield, The War of Art. Are you going to let that resistance deform your spirit and make you less than you were born to be? By the way, this is why I'm so adamant every adult needs to weight train regularly. Weight training requires you to overcome a progressively greater resistance week after week. Your body's ability to overcome that resistance starts with your mind's belief you can do so. As you train your body, you train your mind. Over time, the mental fortitude you develop from fitness affects your perseverance in other areas of life as well. Fatitude 3, I deserve to eat sweets. You might have grown up with parents who rewarded you with food for good behavior, getting your chores done or some other bribe. As an adult, there's still a part of you that believes you deserve to eat junk food as a reward for making it through a stressful week, for getting through a tough workout, or because the day ends in Y. If you use food as a participation ribbon in adulthood, you'll find a way to justify junk food every day. I'm not saying you shouldn't indulge as a way to celebrate a new job promotion, an anniversary, your birthday, or another occasion or milestone. Go ahead and enjoy it. But let's be real. Stress, disappointment, and difficulty are part of everyday life. If you believe you deserve to indulge just for doing what adults do, the only fitness milestones you'll reach will be all-time highs on the scale and new diseases diagnosed by your doctor. Fatitude 4, I don't have time. If you had a heart attack tomorrow, how much time could you realistically spend at the hospital? If your boss said your company is downsizing, but you can keep your job if you're willing to work an extra hour, could you do it to keep your job? When your favorite show premieres, do you make the time that week to watch it? If your spouse said, "Sweetheart, let's spice things up and have sex every night for the next month," would you have the time? By the way, if you get fit, it might be more likely that'll happen. With 168 hours per week to schedule, you can find 4 hours to exercise. That's only 2.3% of your week. People make time for what's important. What could be more important than caring for your physical health with 4 hours a week of exercise? Whatever gifts your brain offers the world, if your body breaks down, your brain won't be as capable of doing what it could do. I had a conversation with someone recently who said she couldn't exercise 4 times per week. She said they had 4 kids and her husband worked outside the home. After chatting for a while, I asked her if it was impossible to go to the gym on Saturdays and Sundays. She said that would definitely be possible. Then I asked if it were impossible to have her husband watch the kids 2 evenings per week so she could go to the gym. She quickly realized that it was possible too. In fact, her husband was excited to do so as he knew how much his wife wanted to lose weight. The problem wasn't the schedule, it was her perception of what 4 days a week meant. In her head, she kept thinking 4 weekdays. Fatitude 5. Nothing works for me. Most, but not all of the time, when someone says that nothing works for weight loss, it's because they haven't fully committed to something long enough to get results. Some people expect their body will change as fast as a fake photoshopped before and after advertisement. When it doesn't, they give up. They don't work the diet and exercise program long enough for it to work on their body. The other reason they believe diets and training programs don't work is they haven't ever really worked the program. They try, they don't commit. They still snack on foods they shouldn't. They miss workouts here and there. They buy a larger wine glass so they can say they only had one glass, but fill the glass with 3 servings. It would be like telling your best man or maid of honor that you're going to try your marriage out and see what happens. Your attitude would screw up the marriage before it ever started. Commit every day. Don't try. Then see it through for at least 6 months. And once you start, don't sleep around by dabbling in other diets and testing out other training programs. Stay the course. Fatitude 6. I'm not that bad. Of all the fatitudes, this one is the most dangerous. If you look at your circle of friends, you might see others who look like they're in worse shape than you. Your doctor might have told you that you're, quote, fine, even though you're on 6 medications to manage your metabolic dysfunction. I'm not that bad is such a dangerously subjective statement. It's based on your comparison against yourself and the people who surround you. Most people don't get fat overnight. The weight comes on little by little. You compare your health to where it was a few months ago or a year ago, and compared to then, it probably isn't much worse. Compared to 10 years ago, it could be a lot worse. Compare yourself to a new group of friends who are already committed to their health and fitness, and your "I'm not that bad" perspective will change. If you hang on to this fatitude too long, you'll wake up one day with pain in your chest or no feeling in your big toe. You'll get a blood test and your doctor will tell you that you're no longer pre-diabetic, but you've graduated to officially diabetic. I'm not that bad is a far cry from I'm fit and healthy. However, if you don't change the way you speak about your current state of health, you're unlikely to do anything about it. Turn your fatitude into a fititude. Your mindset or perspective is your most significant hurdle to improve your health. You could have the best health and fitness program in your hands, but you won't follow through until you change your fatitude. Replace your fatitude with a fititude. Subscribe to Tom Nicola 365. It's free. Get health and fitness tips, insights, research, and recommendations delivered to Messenger every day. Each tip comes as a shareable graphic for social media. If that sounds interesting to you, just go to tomnicola.com/365 and you can subscribe for free. Thanks so much for tuning into my podcast and listening to this audio article. If you enjoyed it, please share the audio or written version with others. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate it in the iTunes store. Until next time, get on with your tenacious pursuit of optimal health.